Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And lots of action to get ready for Indiana and Penn State tonight on WKOK, which we will join in progress after Shikellamy basketball tonight. That coverage starting just after 7 o'clock with the Chief and Kevin Herr. Shikellamy at Central Mountain tonight, tip off at 7:30. Then once we're done, we'll go straight to the start of Penn State and Indiana, which is scheduled for an 8:30 tip tonight. And to get you ready, we got Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star giving us the Indiana perspective at 4:06 today. Of course, we'll get lots of other preview from Steve coming up once he joins us from the Sunbury Motors Studio for this first hour. Your calls to 1-800-795-9565. And then at 4:35 today, Neil Coolong's going to join us for his weekly appearance to get ready for Super Bowl 54, and I'm excited. We're actually going to talk some Pro Bowl, too, apparently. We'll have to see if Steve actually comes to fruition for that and keeps his promise there. So that's what's coming up on the show today. And when you look at this game for Penn State tonight, one stat that stood out to me when looking at this Indiana team is if they force turnovers, they're going to win games. It's been a majority of their wins this year. They're 14-4 coming into tonight. 13-0 when they force five steals or more, only 2-5 when they don't do that. So it's, of course, very clear for Penn State to make sure they take care of the basketball tonight, which they've been, on average, doing fairly well. They've averaged about 12 turnovers per game coming into tonight. The other factor I'm curious to see tonight is the first 10 minutes or so, Steve, after the big win they had in Michigan, the way the seniors stepped up, Curtis Jones in particular, after the kind of commitment that you saw from Patrick Chambers, that confidence he showed in the seniors coming off the bench a little bit. Can they get that going early tonight after having the week off?
Well, that's what you're hoping for. You want to put Indiana behind if you can, because Indiana has not played a lot on the road. And that's the one of the keys is Indiana doesn't have a lot of road experience. They're a lot like, even their tournament was in Indianapolis. And Indianapolis is like Sunbury to Mifflinburg. It's not that far. So if you can get up on them, get the crowd engaged early, I think that would be a big key. Now, this is obviously following... I guess we're going to have to achieve, 7:06 tonight? Is that the tip-off, Shikellamy, at Jersey Shore?
That's when coverage starts, and then tip-off at 7:30.
7:30. Well, that game will bleed over into the Penn State game then. That'll bleed over. There must be a JV game beforehand.
Yeah, usually they are. Usually it's 6 and 7:30, JV first, varsity second.
Yeah, okay. And that's at Jersey Shore tonight, so... The suit will treat this as if he's cheers leading into wings on NBC. It's like, okay, sure. Warrior leaded. Really? Okay. It's what makes the suit special. He has this magical, delusional sense. That's really, really... Makes him special, my man. Makes him special. It's So that'll be tonight. You've got to keep, somehow get some semblance of control on the glass against this team. This is not just a good offensive rebounding team. Indiana at times can be an outstanding rebounding team. Outstanding. I'm talking about offensive rebounding team. You cannot allow the missed shot to be a key part of Indiana's offense. To me, that's really important. You can't allow the missed shot to become an important part of Indiana's offense. You've got to get them into as many one-and-dones as possible. And when I mean one-and-dones, I mean misses, obviously. And that'll be one of the keys to tonight. You got to do the usual. You got to shoot the ball well. Get the ball going in the basket. Matt talked about playing well early.
I also mentioned the turnovers too, Steve. I don't know if you heard that. Indiana's 13-0 when they force 5 or more steals per game.
They're a good defensive team. They're not a great defensive team. They're a good defensive team. The steals part. But again, see, the hard part for me to gauge with them is they've done so much of this at home. We'll see. The Penn State's been pretty good about taking care of the ball for the most part. Pretty good. You do have to take care of it because Finnessy can step in and he can make some plays. Durham can make some plays. Green can make some plays. Smith can make some plays. I'll tell you, the Jackson Davis kid, the freshman, his biological father's Dale Davis, who played for years with the Indiana Pacers. I think that you just have to. This is an exciting spot to be in. Let me put it that way. It's an exciting spot to be in because you want to get to games with stakes. Games with stakes mean everything. And that's what gets the casual fan, the somewhat casual fan, engaged, where they can kind of jump on board something that's exciting, fun, winning. And now it's going to be an 8:30 start tonight, so I'll be interested to see what the crowd is actually like tonight based on that. Plus, Jersey Shore Shickleham, he's going to draw some fans away. No? No.
It might. You never know.
By the way, Friday night, Iowa Penn State Wrestling is going to be on BTN, I believe. So I want to alert everybody to that.
As it should be.
This is one of those, if Penn State pulls this one off, you sit there and go, wow. I mean, it would be a wow if they did. If they could somehow pull that one off. I mean, for Iowa, they think that this is it. That this is their year. This is the moment for them. That's what they're thinking. And they're going to bring Penn State in there, right? And they're going to get 15,500 people in there into Carver Hawkeye, and it's going to be going insane. It's going to be going crazy because they finally got them. We got them. That's what they're thinking. Now, whether it's reality, I know in Nebraska Friday night, we will all be glued to it. Okay? I mean, that's what we're going to watch. We're going to watch in Nebraska because we got to fly there Friday. But wow, that's going to be some dual meet coming up. Top two teams in the country, really cool. Atmosphere will be great, really cool. Penn State doesn't quite have the same lineup it thought it would in December. Yet, despite the fact that they don't, they've been wrestling great, really cool. I mean, there's a lot of really cool aspects to this. And that's going to be, I think it has a chance to be really fun on Friday night. I know a lot of fans will be interested in watching that. BTN's going to do extensive coverage of it, which is great. Like I said, in Nebraska, we have already talked among ourselves, and we have already said in no uncertain terms, we are all locked in and glued to it. Me, every single bout. It's great for the sport, too, isn't it? Great for the sport. That they'll be that you know, this dual meet takes place. Just the timing of it's really good. A Friday night, last day of January. Then you'll get to the Big Ten Championships. 5 weeks after that, and then it's the NCAA's in which with what will be the largest crowd in the history of collegiate wrestling we've ever seen. I think what Dick and Milton said, he and his brother and a bunch of other people are going out there for it. I'm going to be really interested to see what they see. I want to be able to see it through their eyes. Because let's face it, this is not, I think next year it's in St. Louis. This is not like going to Cleveland or Pittsburgh where you're in a basketball slash hockey arena and you've got 19,000 people in there, 20,000 people in there. And everybody has a good view of what's going on. This is a totally different animal. You're going to be in a football stadium. Make no mistake, this is the home of the Vikings. It was built for the Vikings. It wasn't built to play. I mean, they played the Final Four in it, obviously, but this was built as a football stadium. And I'm going to be interested to see from everybody as to what they see. What do you see? You know, were you able to actually see it? Could you enjoy it? What kind of view did you have? Was the scoreboard more important in terms of the video board in the building more important to watching it because you had a better view of it as opposed to actually being there? I mean, I'm just going to be interested to see all that as to whether it's worth doing, because it's not like it's not the only indoor facility that you could go to. You could go to Ford Field in Detroit if you wanted to. Right? There are a bunch of places you could take it to. Heck, you could take it to Jerry World if you thought this was successful. As long as it's got a roof. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Ah, yes. We had the same issue at the holiday party with the suit. Like, come on, shake hands. And you were offended, Matt. I run the show. I run the show. Like, oh, jeez. It's a scary guy, man. But he's our guy.
He is our guy.
Absolutely. At some point, we're going to take a little bit of time here. We're going to go through some of the prop bets. Yeah, so maybe we'll do that with Kevin tomorrow. Do some of the prop bets. Yeah?
Yes, I definitely want to do that. Because I saw one yesterday that I think is pretty funny.
Well, I went on CBSSports.com. And they had they had a list of prop bets. I don't know what booking house it was. And they had analysis of them. Like a breakdown. Like,
of course they did.
What the heck?
That's so 2020.
Demi Lovato is singing the national anthem?
Correct.
So the prop bet is plus 2 minutes, minus 2 minutes. They had an analysis of the last four national anthems she sung. I'm like, what in the heck is this? Okay. I've got three words over here that just kind of sum it up. I mean, we'll do it for fun, but I don't care. see now the person that cares is in the corner office.
That is correct.
Oh, this stuff here, like the national anthem. I'm telling you, it's going to be a minute 58. I'm telling you, it's going to be close.
Maybe I'll have him give me a few that I can share on the show tomorrow.
He was so into the prop bets and like the national anthem thing. I remember I think it was the second year we were doing the show, because we're coming up, I think next week marks the start of the ninth year doing the show. And so I think it was the second year. And, you know, I'm sitting at home and it's the Super Bowl and I'm watching, like I always do, something else. Right? Because of the pregame. And he always used to get mad at me all the time because I'd say, well, gee, I don't really start watching till the game starts. Maybe I'll see the national anthem. Right? You couldn't believe I didn't watch the pregame show.
Oh, I start watching the pregame at 2 o'clock.
Which is perfectly fine. But I sit there and go, look, I got stuff to do. I don't need to see people talk about the same things for hours and hours and hours. Now, why are these pregame shows that long? Because they can sell it. But all of a sudden, I get this text, because I wasn't watching the game yet. 1:56. I'm thinking, the heck is... No, it was 2:12. 2:12. I'm like, 2:12? Like, what the heck's he talking about? So I texted him. I said, okay, what are you rambling about? And he says, the length of the national anthem. I think I texted back and said, that'll be the last one you send to me tonight. I didn't know what he was talking about. Oh. Like, you're really into it, man. Really into it. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Received a text from the King. You evidently went 3-1 last week.
Yes, we both did.
That include my pick of the AFC NFC as a tie?
No, it did not include that. I think that was just the four basketball that we picked.
I see.
I guess we didn't count the Pro Bowl.
The one I missed, I picked Florida over Baylor.
Yeah, that was the one I missed too. Yep.
And to be honest with you, I mean, Baylor played great.
Yeah, much better than I thought.
The game was at the O'Connell Center, aka the Chlorine Center. Okay, so now we've got this week, it's, what do we have? Iowa at Maryland. It should be a great game. Kentucky at Auburn. Georgetown at St. John's. Illinois, then at Iowa, which is a Monday game. You got North Carolina, Florida State. I guess that's Monday. And then the ultimate tiebreaker between you and Kevin.
Exactly,
the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Super Bowl, the 49ers in Kansas City. Here's something that's really interesting about... I don't think I brought this up yesterday. I think if you realistically look at the four units on the field, Kansas City has the best unit on the field in its offense. They also have what I think is the worst unit on the field, their defense. And then units two and three happen to be San Francisco's defense offense. All right? In whatever order you want. But you know, here's something really interesting about the 49ers defense. 49ers have had a great defensive year, right? Okay. Except, believe it or not, statistically, in the fourth quarter. So if you're thinking about any team that has the ability to come back in this game, Kansas City is going to be your obvious choice because of the Patrick Mahomes factor. Fair enough?
Absolutely.
Now let's look at the stats. The 49ers defense, which was great all year, no getting around it, they were great all year, finished 28th in the NFL in pass defense in the fourth quarter out of 32. The 49ers pass rush, the vaunted pass rush of the 49ers, was ranked 20th in the fourth quarter in the NFL this season. I found those two items to be fascinating. The pass rush was ranked 20th in the fourth quarter, and pass defense, which is an offshoot of pass rush, was ranked 28th. Their ability to close defensively is called into question because of that. Even in, like, let's take the last game of the season where they are either going to be a team that gets a bye or has to play the first round. They have to beat Seattle at Seattle. Now, they get a great win. They won the game. But they won the game by 10 inches. At the end of the game, they're hanging on defensively. They stopped him at the 10-inch line. Wow. So it's going to be interesting to see that if the 49ers have a lead in the fourth quarter, whether they can hold it, especially against this guy.
Reason being, it's a younger group in the secondary and more inexperienced group in the secondary than it is up front. You still have young guys up front.
Except for Sherman.
Right, except for Sherman, correct.
Sherman is...
He's the leader.
And Sherman got beat by Davante Adams on that deep ball in, guess what, the fourth quarter. I mean, the Packers were putting a little more heat. Now, they weren't going to catch them. The 49ers had built such a lead. They built a cushion. So maybe they're playing it a little bit different defensively. But the Packers were moving the ball in the fourth quarter on them and scoring. Even though they've no way they're going to have enough to catch them. They weren't going to catch them. But I find that when you have 2 weeks, the ability to overanalyze this game comes into play. this falls into the category of interesting but overanalyzing. So now let's get to story time with Steve. All right. How did the Kansas City Chiefs become the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, it all goes back to, obviously, Lamar Hunt, the billionaire who made his money through oil. The very same way Matt Cotrillo did.
Of course.
Lisa asks me all the time, where is he stashing the cash? I said, I don't know. I can't tell you. You're on a need-to-know basis, Lisa. You don't need to know. All right. So, look, he kept trying to get into the NFL, kept trying to get in the NFL. There's no room at the inn for Lamar Hunt at the NFL. They keep telling him no. And the NFL's not expanding. Which, by the way, is, you know what's interesting about this Super Bowl? This is the 100th year of the NFL, right? And you have a matchup between two teams who did not begin in the NFL.
Well, that's why everybody wanted Packers-Chiefs, because first Super Bowl, you would have had the first Super Bowl matchup when the 100th season.
Yeah, but the Chiefs started in the AFL. The 49ers started in the All-American Football Conference. And they both got to the NFL through mergers. So in other words, like the you know, say the Carolina Panthers went there, yeah, 100th season, but their existence began as an NFL team. Neither Kansas City nor San Francisco began their existences as NFL teams; they were merged. But back to the Texans. So he starts the AFL. Then you got the Houston Oilers, the New York Titans, who are now the Jets, the Buffalo Bills. You've got the Denver Broncos. The L.A. Chargers, they were in Los Angeles 1 year, played at the Coliseum 1 year, then they moved to San Diego. And the Boston Patriots. Now, the Raiders were originally going to be in Minnesota. And then the group that was trying to get them in Minnesota was then offered an NFL expansion team. They told the AFL goodbye, and they ended up in Oakland as the Raiders. Okay. So Lamar Hunt gets the Dallas Texans going. Well, the NFL sees this. They want to put an expansion team in Dallas right away. But under NFL rules at that time, you needed unanimous approval from the other owners for an expansion team. Clint Murchison, universally praised by many as an excellent owner, is the one that wants to get the, quote, Dallas Cowboys going. And everybody in the league's for it, except for one guy, George Preston Marshall, the owner of the Redskins, who, to his credit, had tons of money, but also brought with him a long list of issues. The Redskins, at this time, it is now 1959-1960, okay? So it's 1959. The Redskins are actually the southernmost team in the NFL. They've got a 50,000-watt radio station and a really good signal to go with a pretty good, at that time, payday. They're the southernmost team. They're no Tennessee Titans, Carolina Panthers, Dolphins, Bucks, Falcons, Saints, no. They're Cowboys, nobody. He didn't want to give that up. But he was also the kind of guy that rubbed people the wrong way. And one of the people he rubbed the wrong way is the guy that wrote the song Hail to the Redskins. Hail to the Redskins. Evidently, he wasn't giving him the royalties he was supposed to get, contractually, whatever. But there was a problem. Murchison now needs this vote to get unanimous consent to be in the league. And when they have the first vote, Marshall's not in the room. So Murchison finally seeks out George Preston Marshall. He said, "Needs your vote." He goes, "I don't know. I'm not so sure." He says, "Let me ask you something." He says, "Hail to the Redskins." How often during the course of the game do you want to play "Hail to the Redskins"? And he says, "I play it as often as I want." And he says, "Oh, no, you don't." He says, "Why?" He says, "What do you mean you don't?" He says, "I just bought the rights to it." And Marshall then begrudgingly votes to allow the Cowboys to come in. Murchison bought the rights to "Hail to the Redskins." Says, "You're not going to play that ever again if I don't get a team." Because he bought the rights to it. So now the Cowboys and the Texans both are going to play in the Cotton Bowl. The only stadium available in the area. There's no Texas Stadium. There's no Jerry World. All you have is the Cotton Bowl. So essentially, they draw lots to see who's going to play what weekends at home. So that's why the or who gets the Sunday games, who gets Sundays. So if you notice, you look at the Cowboys' schedule, their first home game's on a Friday night. I think the next time they play a home game's on a Saturday. They finally, in the third home game, they get to play on a Sunday. Because in the lottery drawing, the Chiefs won the first two Sundays. Well, the Dallas Texans won the first two Sundays. The Dallas Texans, they had Lenny Dawson at quarterback, Abner Haynes at running back. They're a pretty good team. They went like 8-6. The Cowboys in the NFL go 0-11-1 first year. Eddie LeBaron at quarterback, Don Meredith, they go 0-11-1. I think they had a 31-31 tie with somebody. The Texans are drawing about 25,000 fans a game. The Cowboys, Murchison, loses $1 million the first season. Now, $1 million in 1960, while it's tip change to Matt right now, $1 million was a big deal in 1960. Huge. It's a huge loss. Today, Matt just brushes it off in his tax return. And the Texans are like, they're drawing 25,000. They're doing a lot of promotions, giveaways, things like that. The Cowboys didn't want to do that. It finally gets to the point in 1962, third year now in, where Lamar Hunt's, they got to figure something out. Now, the mythology, I heard Gil Brandt tell this story the other day. Gil Brandt, the rumor was that Murchison and Lamar Hunt flipped a coin as to who would stay in Dallas and who would have to move. It was a bitter rivalry. And Gil Brandt one time asked Murchison if that was true, and Murchison said, quote, "I still got the coin in my pocket." Yeah. Well, whatever reason, the Texans are the ones, and it's probably Lamar Hunt just business-wise saying, "Look, we got to move someplace." And believe it or not, his first choice was New Orleans to become the Saints. But then Kansas City came in with a sweetheart deal. Practice facilities, the stadium, rent, things like that. And that's how they ended up going and becoming the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's how, in the last game the Texans played was a six-quarter playoff game against the Houston Oilers that they won in overtime when Tommy Brooker kicked a field goal. But the Chiefs essentially were the bell cow of the AFL during the 10-year existence. He won three championships. One is the Texans and two is the Chiefs. And you'll notice they still wear to this day that 10-year AFL patch, which is, by the way, the patch they wore in Super Bowl IV. But that's how they came into being. "I bought the rights to Hail to the Redskins." Now that is a ruthless business guy. You want to beat another ruthless business guy? Be more ruthless than they are. How often are you going to play Hail to the Redskins at your games? He goes, I can play it anytime I want. I said, no, you can't. I own the rights. The guy in the corner office, he'd do that. Oh, I bought the rights to the Jersey Shore fight song. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKF. Jersey Shore coming up tonight against Shikellamy with Kevin and the Chief. 7:30 will be the tip-off this evening, and then when that's over, it's off to the Jordan Center for Penn State and Indiana. So that's it's a basketball night. And then Penn State Wrestling, while we won't be carrying it, it's going to be on BTN Friday night. That's going to be some dual meet. It's going to be something else. You know, they finally feel like they got Penn State right where they want them. We'll see. We'll see.
To me, it could be, and now it's probably still a little early to really say this, but I still think it could be a de facto Big Ten and maybe even national championship dual meet, because the amount of momentum that's going to swing after tomorrow night is huge. For reasons you just talked about, between Iowa's confidence going into this thinking it's their year, but if Penn State goes on the road and finds a way to pull this off with all the injuries, then bam, they're probably going to be off and running despite all the injuries they have, and still only one loss at that point.
You know, it's there's one thing about this sport that is so different and difficult to gauge, because a really good dual meet team is different than a really good tournament team. I mean, you obviously have the ability to have both, because we've seen Penn State have both. But it's such an individual sport. I mean, there are going to be a couple of guys that are going to walk out of there with a lot of confidence individually, even if the team they're on Friday night doesn't win. They may go out and do really well. Yeah, it's like I said, that's what makes that sport so hard to gauge. Hey, had a great night. Now, Penn State's had a lot of great nights. As a dual meet team, the difference for Penn State this year is where can they find the bonus points? They've been able to get bonus points as a dual meet team over the years, and they've been able to get bonus points as a tournament team over the years. And they've been able to bury the opponents because they're bonus points from their key guys, whomever that may be, whether it's a Bo Nickel, a Jason Nolf of recently, along with some other guys over the years. That's allowed them, you know, David Taylor. David Taylor got them bonus points all over the place. Where are the bonus points going to come from with this team? Every team ends up being its own entity. But that's going to be, the biggest question for Penn State is not how good can they be. They've got a lot of talent on this team. But where can they find the bonus points that may swing a dual meet like this on Friday night? And more importantly, where are they going to find bonus points as a tournament team? That's been a major swing factor for Penn State over the last 9 years. So who can that be? You usually need a couple of guys that can go out and suddenly like, okay, bonus points. You got a lot of guys that can win. Can they win by enough? Neil Coulon coming up in the next hour. We will, yes, Matt, discuss at one point with Neil the Pro Bowl.
I'm excited.
You're the only one.